Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title.
Leanne Mislesky, the Vice President for Opera and Classical Programming at Wolf Trap.
And we are talking because the Wolf Trap Opera is making its triumphant return this summer after a crazy year of pandemic. Before we get to the individual shows, let's start with some big picture stuff. You know, I mean, how long have you been sort of sidelined? And, you know, I believe you guys have done some virtual stuff, but, you know, so remind us of how this past year has been.
Right. So we were super lucky last year in that we were able to actually bring singers to Virginia in the middle of a pandemic to do some work. It was a real lifeline for the singers, and it was really great for us to be able to make some art in the middle of everything that was happening last year. And nobody got sick, which was a real feather in all of our caps. It was such a team effort. But again, you know, we're doing it for video cameras, we're doing it masked and in these small groups. So this summer, not only do we get to come back to Wolf Trap with many of these same singers, but we also get to be together. We get to be outdoors. We get to have an audience. We get to collaborate with an orchestra. So it's just, it's an embarrassment of riches, it feels like, this summer.
Awesome. Let's go into some of the shows. I know, I guess the first one back is it June 18th, the Anonymous Lover in concert?
It is June 18th. It's with the National Symphony. And this show is super cool because of the composer. So this, the guy who wrote this, Joseph Boulogne, the Chevalier de Saint-Georges, was, he's an athlete, musician, war hero. Like he's a superlative gentleman, and almost all of his works have been lost. We're just starting to know the ones that still exist. And this is his only opera that still remains. He wrote six. This is the only one that, that we actually have the parts for. And it's this lovely story about a woman who has decided that she's maybe not interested in getting back into the dating game, and her best friend is like, yeah, you shouldn't, people stink, but he is secretly in love with her and has been kind of courting her as this anonymous lover because he's been friend zoned a little bit. He doesn't quite have the guts to kind of come out and say how he feels because they're such good friends. So it's a really lovely about a 75-minute 85-minute piece of these two kind of working through that, and there is a happy ending, which is nice.
Great. And then, of course, a piece everyone will recognize is Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street. How excited are you to put that one on?
Oh, my gosh. This is one of my favorites, I think, because it is a comedy. It's a very dark comedy, but there's something with the theme of being unjustly imprisoned and finally becoming free, like our protagonist, Sweeney Todd, that I think resonates for everybody at this point, right? Being able to kind of get a fresh start. Now, I wouldn't recommend necessarily the vengeful streak of that he might take on, but there are some really great themes throughout it. There are musical numbers that you'll keep singing well afterwards, and there are some really powerful, powerful moments in the piece. I'm delighted. This one kind of cast itself from the people who were coming back. It was just a no-brainer, and the cast is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. The worst pies at Wolf Trap.
I know.
Awesome. And then another, you know, name everyone will know is Cinderella Civitri.
Yeah, so Cinderella, like we all know this story, right? And there's at least three operatic versions by different composers. And it's a story that we know, it's part of our kind of our communal lexicon, right? There's a, you know, Cinderella, there's the fairy godmother, there's a stepdad who's kind of clueless, and there are the two stepsisters who have some of the most fun antics of the whole thing, and then our prince. But in Cinderella, you know, it's a woman who's kind of trying her hardest and trying to keep a positive outlook, and things do shift for her because she is just trying to do the right thing. And there's some similarities to that. And the second show, which is Savitri, which is a show that we don't necessarily know quite as richly here. It's based on a story from the Mahabharata, and it's about a woman who, again, quietly kind of advocates for what she needs. In this story, death comes for her husband, and through some reasoning and passionate argument, she's able to sway death to keep her husband with her. So it's nice to have a little bit of agency from these two ladies who are very separate in terms of culture and time period, but have this kind of similar perspective on their circumstance, which is really cool. And the music is gorgeous. Actually, the Cinderella was written to be performed in someone's home. So it's a very kind of intimate portrayal. The Savitri was written by the guy who wrote The Planets, Gustav Holst. And he wrote it to be actually performed outdoors. So this, the fact that we're doing it in this setting where he was really specific about how it should be done is also something I'm really looking forward to have to do it at the Trap.
Cool. Well, so those are the three big ones in terms of, you know, narrative storyline operas, I guess. But you got, mm-hmm. you know, the opera also has a couple other cool things I'd like to highlight before we run. I know, you know, all through, you know, every couple weeks, every week or so, you have the Salon series. Tell me about that.
Yep. So, you know, we recognize that not everybody might be ready to be out and about and in public and with other people. So we are doing a number of digital, we are doing a number of digital offerings, and the Salon series is one. We have a number of singers, and we've paired them up with either a pianist or a pianist and another singer, sometimes with some instrumentalist. And we've asked them to kind of create an intimate evening for patrons, and we'll just stream it one night only from the barns. So it's really artist directed stuff. So each one is going to be really different as far as repertoire, as far as big themes, but the music is going to be gorgeous for all of them. So you can tune into everyone and know that you'll get something different every time.
Great. And then a really cool thing is you're calling it Starias, Opera's Most Powerful Moments with Wolf Trap Opera Artists and Alumni. Yeah. Explain how big this is. And it sort of ties into your 50 years, too.
It really does. So, you know, when Mrs. Schaus founded Wolf Trap in 1971, when the park opened, opera was one of her loves, her passions. And the opera company really started at the same time that the Feline Center opened, right? It was part of that initial push that she gave to the national park. So for us to kind of celebrate that big anniversary, we've got a bunch of alumni coming back. Paul Gross, Ray Achetto, Michelle DeYoung, who was an artist in residence for us a number of years ago, Tammy Wilson, Rob Watson, and Ryan Speedo Green are coming back. And we're focusing on these kind of big, powerful musical moments from operas, not the whole thing, but kind of like those big moments. We've got a duet from Faust between Faust and the devil. We've got the big scene where Tosca gets confronted by the Baron Scarpia, and it has the big kind of climax of that show. All kinds of these big moments that are going to happen kind of in these, in this sequential kind of very intense opera recital. With the National Symphony as well. So you know that the playing is going to be gorgeous. Chris Allen is conducting. It's going to be a really special night.
Awesome. And then last but not least, on July 10th, I mean, some of these I know are a little out of order. I'll rearrange them when we do the article in chronological order as much as I can. But the Aria Jukebox.
Yeah. So Aria Jukebox is an audience decide your own kind of concert. And it's an audience favorite for us. So voting will start online on June 21st, which is a Monday, and you can access it through the webpage at wolftrap.org. And we'll take votes for the arias. Each singer will offer three arias, and you can vote for your favorites. You can vote as, instead of, it's not like a political election, you can vote early, you can vote as often as you'd like. And then we'll aggregate those results. And in that performance, we'll showcase the arias that the audience has chosen. So it's a lot of fun for us. There's always that big reveal moment with the artist on stage when we finally tell them which of those three arias that they're actually singing. It's a great time.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us. I have plenty to work with. Is there anything else you want to, you know, add before we hop off here?
No, I think that's great. Thanks so much for your time, Jason. It's great to talk to
All
you.
Right. Sounds good. We'll put out the word and get some people out there to see the opera. We're excited that Wolf Trap's coming back. I think it's like, you know, my favorite venue in the area, especially in the summertime. It's going to really feel like, you know, things are slowly getting back to normal when people head out there. So
I hope so. We miss everybody. And thanks so much for those kind words. Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.